Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Amen. I feel like going on. Welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, and that tune was by Bishop Marvin Winans. I feel like going on. I played that tune because this is part two of a show that we had, and this is about MST, military sexual trauma. And I just want to thank my special guest who is here tonight, who is willing to share her personal struggles and hopes to help someone else out that's going through some stuff. And a lot of people, you know, they won't show their wounds. If they can't show their wounds, why you want to listen? So this phenomenal guest, man, she got the balls to come out here and tell her story to help you. So you need to listen up. And everybody listening north to south, east to west, and all those 28 countries, give this lady a round of applause, Miss Tracy Arnold, because she's bringing it to you real so you can hear her heart, not just with your ears. And with that being said, I want to welcome my co-host, Ms. Kristen Mark, to the show tonight. How y'all doing?
Hello, I'm doing fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous.
Thank you, Chris. How about you, Mark? Mark, I don't hear you.
Yeah, I'm doing great, except for a bad cold.
Okay, well, you know, focus on the show, focus on the show. But, you know, let's give, you know, much due respect to our guest, Miss Tracy Arnold. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing really great, thank you. Actually, I'm not doing well at all.
You're not doing well or you're doing great?
No, I'm not doing well. I've been stuck in a pattern of depression. Yesterday was my birthday, and the one person in the world that I would love to hear say happy birthday is no longer here. And I just struggled with that. Struggled all day on my birthday. Finally, I got up and went to an NA meeting, and I felt better after that.
Praise God.
Happy birthday.
You know, for one thing, even though your mama's not here, she's here inside of you. Because when you look in that mirror, you see her face. Y'all was connected by the umbilical cord, so she isn't gone. She's just in another space that you will see her again soon. So she's with you, but I know it's lonely because you don't hear her verbally talking to you. But she there, darling. She is there each and every day with that walk. And just to recap for people who didn't hear the first show, tell them what happened when y'all was opposed to you being brand new, young, 18 years old, when y'all was out in the field doing y'all military maneuvers. They instructed the women to go tag team, go together. But you, being in this big army and feel like everybody is for you, share what happened to you that evening.
Must I go through this again? Anyways, I was out. We were out on a field problem. And we were told, we had one shower facility, and the women were told to go as a buddy system, use the buddy system to take our showers. Well, I was out there playing and having fun, and dusk, dawn, it got nighttime, and I hadn't taken my shower, and all the other women had. So I go to the shower. On my way to the shower, I get bum rushed and grabbed and taken down, and there were two soldiers. One was black, one was white. And one held me down while the other one raped me. And then they switched and did the same, you know, they switched and both of them raped me, actually. And they threatened me that if I said anything, that they wasn't going to believe me anyway, and that they would do it again and it would be worse the next time. So I fought as much as I could, but, of course, I was overpowered. And I kept it to myself for many, 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 many years. And a lot of things happened in my life as a result of that. And just about 3 years ago, I was able to talk about it and actually got help from it from the VA. I actually even went down to Florida, to Bay Pines, Florida, which is in St. Petersburg, and went to a inpatient treatment for about 12 weeks that was specifically directed towards military sexual trauma. And I will tell you that there were both men and women in that program. It was a wonderful program, and it helped me a lot in my life.
Well, I like to say for the people who are getting ready to come right out of high school and going into the military, start their career, you know, when you're young, you feel like you could conquer the world. And you sometimes you feel like, because I felt like at that age too, that, you know, the older people, when they talk to you, we don't have to worry about that anymore. I got this, because you're confident, and you're, you know, bodacious and everything. So for the people out there listening, if you got daughters or sons who get ready to join the military, whether they're out of high school or whether they just transition, whenever they transition, let them understand, just because the military, whether it's the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, whatever, National Guard, whatever it is, don't think because you belong to a big sorority, fraternity of people that like the same like ideas, that they all for you. Everybody got their own agenda. And so when you're young, be wise. You know, if they tell you to do something, they're telling you for a reason. Don't think that you got this because, you know, what Miss Arnold had to do, and she probably didn't even realize it, actually kept that secret and that depression, and then she probably started blaming herself because she didn't listen, and then she started having mental issues where she needed medication because she was acting out because she couldn't express that because she didn't want nobody judging her. You know, it's hard to tell that story because, you know, you don't want nobody to say, oh, you stupid, blah, 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 blah. You know, she was a victim. That's the bottom line, you know. And because when you become victimized, whatever, whether the military, at home, or somebody you know or you don't know, if you have become a victim, tell somebody. Tell somebody it's not your fault. We all make mistakes, making wrong choices. But when somebody do something to you that you don't ask for, it's not your fault. And so that being said, I'm going to throw the questions over to Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. My question is, as someone who survived this, how would you comfort somebody who's afraid of the repercussions of coming out and saying that they got raped in the military because there's so many repercussions that happen to people? What's the best way to comfort them?
Well, I would first let them know that I'm a survivor and that it happens and that whatever you do, you know, go seek help. There are active programs in the veterans system that will help soldiers who have experienced, or service members who have experienced that, and that through therapy and sometimes medication, you can get through it, you know, and that you're not to blame for it, and that. And I would tell them that I would be there for them if they needed me.
Amen.
Well, Mark, I know you busting at the seams trying to get your question out. Go ahead, baby.
Always busting at the seams. Let me wish you a happy birthday. And you know what? You did the right thing, especially by going to an NA meeting. And, out of yourself, you know, because if you would have stayed home, you would have festered and got worse. So you did the right thing by putting on some clothes and going to a meeting.
Yeah, that's what I did. It was the right thing.
Yes. I had some unanswered questions from last time, and one of them was, after the assault, did you think about, you know, the bonding within your unit made it hard for you to report it? You might feel loyalty to your unit or to yourself. Maybe feel you need to keep quiet for the good of the group. Did that weigh upon you or your decision to report?
No, my decision not to report.
Yeah.
What I felt was, The attack was so brutal that I actually was afraid. They threatened me that it would happen again and that no one would believe me anyway. So the camaraderie in the unit had nothing to do with me not reporting. It had everything to do with fear.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you have any bruises on you? Did anybody notice, like, in your bunk room, like, she's acting different, she's withdrawn? Didn't somebody notice? Because you can't go through that without outwardly having some kind of obvious change in your mood.
Yes. it was noticed, and I blowed it off as I'm having a bad day. That's how I blew it off. Oh, I'm all right. I'm all right, just having a bad day. But, yeah, my mood drastically changed, and it was obvious, people. But they didn't know why. And I think the most fearful part of that was that those guys were still out there in the field with me. So, of course,
hey.
So of course, I used the buddy system from then on out.
Yeah, I bet you was jumpy, too, because you're scared every time you see them. You know, like, oh, my
right.
God, they're over there.
You know, when I went to that treatment center, Fort Military Sexual Trauma, there were people who weren't brutalized. Their first sergeant might come in their room and make them have sex or do sex acts. So for everybody, it's not physically brutal. But for me, it just happened to be that way.
Lord have mercy. Jesus. Well, I hope people listening, I hope they understand this is real. This is not no pretend. This is something, you know, people, you know, when you tell people some things, people don't want to hear the truth. They want to think, you just over dramatizing stuff. But, you know, it's real, you know. And God forbid, I don't know what I would have done, first of all, to be raped, not once but twice. And rape is brutal. You know, it's not like, oh, they still, I'm just going to stick my winky inside of you. You might not enjoy it, but I don't care. Rape is brutal, and people need to understand that. You know, and no one has the right to sit there and take someone against their will. It's just like y'all guys, like she said, when she went to that place in Florida, they had men there that was also victims of being molested. You know, I'm talking about when somebody take y'all guys, wreck them, and they ain't taking it, you know, because you say, here, come get it. They taking it because they just want you. Do you know how some of them guys in jail feel? They have been traumatized in jail, and they become the pass-around guy, because I used to be a correction officer, so I know what I'm talking about. But then they try to hold on to some self-respect. When they come out in the street, they try to be hard, and then they become guys who want to beat on women and stuff, so they can feel like, no, I wasn't a punk in jail because somebody took them because it was new. And it's like being a fish in a bowl. Those people in there who got life, they don't care what you're going to do to them. Give them another charge, and they're never getting out. So they do what they want to do to these new people. So, oh, my goodness. Chris, go ahead and ask your question.
All right. Well, Tracy, my next question is, as you know, as someone who's been in media for some time, I hardly hear about military sexual trauma. So how can the media cover it more, in your opinion? I mean, what do you think needs to be done for that?
Well,
what are we doing now, talking about it?
Yeah, I think that it's so personal to everyone. You know, not a lot of people that's been victims of military sexual trauma are willing to talk about it on a national forum or a public forum. It's so personal and it's so embarrassing. But through healing, then we could have that dialogue on a large scale. Just starting in communities, because if you think about it, once you're out of the military, it's hard to. The military is not going to sanction us coming to speak with other military service members because they're in the military. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yep, I do.
Basically, the only thing that I would suggest would be to start having open dialogues about it in your nearby communities where there's a large military population.
Yeah. If you need a military installation or whatever, or, you know, like you can have people, I would think, that go to their church and ask them to come on to the base to talk to the new recruits because they're already there. I don't think they want you to talk to nobody who haven't signed a dotted line yet, but for the ones who are just coming out of their basic training, it should be another you know, level that they can discuss, coming right out of basic training. Don't get excited because we're going to ship you here, ship you there. Let me sit y'all down. Let me talk to y'all. This is what to expect because now you're in the real world, you know, and that would be so appropriate. But we got to take a little small break. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there. Yeah. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there this week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day.
No! No! Who is
that? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
What is, why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy. Because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police. That's right, mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, you all appreciate it. Nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate.
just working with the scraps she was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone, trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. And dear mama, some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
place no one above
you. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you?
And dear mama,
by the icon Tupac Shakur. Rest in peace, my brother. And we welcome back to part two of MST, Military Sexual Trauma, and we're with our special guest, Tracy Arnold. I want to thank her for being here tonight and to open up so that what she went through, she's trying to help someone else avoid going through that. So thank all my listeners, North, South, East, and West, and all my global listeners in 28 countries. Thank you for tuning in and supporting us. And Mark, you can have your question first.
Wait, before Mark asks his question, I thought about the question about what could we do. And if they have counseling centers in the military, but a lot of times because you're threatened by your higher people that's higher in command that knows what's going on, they can prevent your promotions and getting ahead. And so it's a very strong fear of reporting it because of that. You know, I have a friend who was, her first sergeant was holding back military leadership schools because he wanted her to do certain things, or to allow him to do certain things. And so I'm sure that the military wouldn't want us to come and talk to the people in the military. I'm sure of that. But in our
community,
they want to
do dirty laundry hidden in the closet, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead and ask your question. I appreciate you telling us that, Tracy.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Tracy. You know, as a gay man, I have never been brutally raped or brutally had sex with, you know, rectally, anally, in any way. Even though I've been
trying to
say,
praise God.
Oh, praise God. I was in San Quentin. I did time in San Quentin, and it never happened, thank God.
Really?
But, never. I don't know how I escaped that. But anyway, after your attack, I remember you telling us that you experimented with women. Was that kind of like acting out against men, that you didn't have anything to do with men anymore?
Yeah, see, I was molested at age 6, and then I was raped once before at age 17. So my fear of men was off the charts, and then that rape in the military just took it to a whole nother level. So, yes, However, at that time in my life in the military, you could not be openly gay. So, and because of my religious beliefs, my struggle was always, first of all, I hadn't resolved those sexual issues. You know, I needed to talk to somebody about that, and I never did. And then on top of that, I used drugs to just numb the pain of it all, of the confusion of did I like men or did I like women. I like women and I like men, so I ended up being bisexual. You know, once I went through therapy and talked about that and got through some of those issues, you know, which I still think is a little scatterbrained, you either one or the other. And so now I've chosen not to be in any kind of intimate relationship. But until I sort all that stuff out, and I'm still in therapy, and also the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous helps me out a whole lot too.
Yes, yes, yes. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, Tracy. And don't give up. Just keep pressing forward one day at a time, one minute at a time, 1 hour at a time. You know, just take it slowly, but you'll get there. Okay, Chris, go ask your question.
Okay, Tracy, well, after all this time, does it get easier? I mean, do you still get, PTSD and, you know, do you still get the trauma, or does it get easier as time goes by for you?
Well, it has gotten easier for me because, I go to therapy, I work the 12 steps, I have a sponsor, and so I'm actively working on myself and my issues from wherever they stemmed, you know. And so because of that, it gets easier for me. I have some friends for whom it doesn't get any easier. You know, we go to a support group together, but I don't think she has the avenue to express the pain of it very as I do. I've actively participated in my recovery from that and from some other things too.
Well, Tracy, let me ask you this. Some people always say that when somebody goes through something, the reason why they don't get better is because they don't know how to forgive themselves. Did you actually forgive yourself for holding on to that because it wasn't your fault? Is that, I don't know what they do when they give you the steps or talking to therapists. Is that part of that, to learn how to forgive yourself first, so you can realize this is not about you, it's about someone else who's the perpetrator?
That's such a great question. Through the 12 steps of the NA, the fourth step is to do a fearless moral inventory of ourselves, right? And step five is to share that with myself, another person, and God. So I was able to forgive myself through that process.
Amen.
And you talk about a weight being lifted off of my shoulders. It was like I could breathe again, like I hadn't breathed in so long. And when I went through that fifth step, it changed my life. It changed my perception of who I am. And it made me realize I was a victim. It wasn't my fault. Not the incest, not the rape prior to the military, and not the rape in the military. I was victimized, and I carried shame and guilt and remorse for that for so long, and I blamed me. And when I did that step, I no longer blame myself. I realized the truth of the situation.
Good, because, you know, what people don't realize, even when somebody has done something to you, it don't even have to be rape, but you can be a victim of physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sometimes you feel like you hate that person for what they did to you, and you feel like, I will never, ever forgive you for what you did to me. But when you hold that, you know, they're the ones living their life. They don't care what you think, and you're the one all tensed up, you know, you're all stressed up, blood pressure going through the roof, you know, and you're sick in your stomach because stress will make you physically ill, whether it makes your stomach all crazy, give you bubble guts and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, that forgiveness is a powerful thing. You got to learn how to forgive people even when you feel like they don't deserve it, you know, because you don't forgive them for who they are. You forgive them so you can move on, you know. And then you've also made your peace. I forgive you, you know. And then that way you're not being held hostage. But we're going to take a little small music break, and we're going to come right back. So stay with us. Part two of MST, Military Sexual Trauma, with our special guest, Tracy Arnold. And Miss Arnold, we are starting to wind down in time, so I'm giving you this opportunity to let everybody know how they can reach you. And I want to thank you first and foremost for spending the time to be on the show, to open up your heart and expose your wounds as other people may understand. It ain't as real and as easy as it looks. Just because a person's put in like 15 plus years or whatever in the military, you know, it made you hard in some ways and it made you soft in other ways. It made you, you know, go inward, you know, internalize things, and it hurts you, but you're stronger now, baby, and you're stepping with the big dog. So I want to thank you for being here. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you in case they want to talk to you privately.
Well, my telephone number is 706-332-1944. You can also reach me, even though I'm trying to get better at Messenger and at Facebook. That's Tracy Duke Arnold on Facebook. And on Instagram, on Twitter, I'm Trey Bug, capital T-R-A-E, capital B-U-G, Trey Bug. And on Instagram, I'm Lady Dookie. Lady Dookie.
Heard something else, Lady Dookie.
my maiden name is Duke, and so I don't know where Lady Dookie came. The Lady Duke wasn't available.
Yeah, well,
so
you could have said Lady Duke, but that why made me think about poo poo come out your butt, Lady Dookie. Okay. Oh, but I thank you for being here, Chris and Mark. Say thank you to our special guests. You can always come back if you want to talk about anything else, because now this is home when you've been on the show. Tell our special guests thank you and how much we appreciate her being here on a Friday, no less.
Can I say one more?
Tracy.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, what I can do in my community, in my local community, is speak with young girls about violations and about being violated, and just talk to them about the importance of telling someone. You know, it is important to tell someone. Had I told someone, regardless of what would have happened, I wouldn't have had to carry this burden so long. And it may have not, I might not have started using drugs to numb the pain. You know, it's so many things that I probably could have accomplished as a result of not having that burden that I carried for so many years. So I do talk to young people all the time, young girls especially, about different things in life. So that's something that I could and would encourage other women to do, to talk to their young girls and boys about things of that nature.
Well, thank you so much. Well, thank you for being here. Say good night, Mark. Good night, Chris. Good night, Tracy.
Good night.
Happy birthday, Tracy.
Thank you.
Happy
very much.
Birthday, darling.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having
you
me.
All
right.
Bye, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.